blessed us. Amen. You know, I was listening to the news the other day, and there's so much tragedy. It just broke my heart. You know, it's like I'm coming up on these seasons in my life where the least little thing make my eyes water up. Are you hearing me? Am I just overly sensitive or what? You know, big old 298-pound crybaby. Isn't that something? But I weep for those who are in trouble. I weep for those who are in pain. I weep for those who have encountered tragedies and loss, and there's so much of it going on today. But despite what we see, what we hear, or what we go through, I want you to know this morning that Jesus is still King on the throne. Amen? Amen. There's no doubt about it. Amen. Just let me pray again. I'm just in a praying mood this morning. Tim said, Rev, you got a little ahead of it. I said, that's okay, Tim. I'm going to pray anyway. That's all right. I thank God for the staff he's put together here and the people we have as a team here. That it's truly awesome. There's a wonderful thing going on here at this place, and I tell you, the Holy Spirit is in it. Amen, amen. Father, we thank you again, Lord. Lord, if I had 1,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough for what you're doing right here in this place right now, Lord. Father, I just pray that every household represented here this morning, Lord, I pray your blessings be poured up on them, oh God. And every need that is needed within the walls of these homes, these individual homes, Lord, Father, I ask that those needs be fulfilled in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We love you, and we not only love you, Lord, but we need you. So, Father, we do surrender. We do give it all to you, Lord, for you are the author of our salvation, Lord. You are our life giver. You are the giver of time, oh God, and for that we thank you, Father. Move in this place, oh God. Like you did on that mighty day of Pentecost, like that mighty rushing wind that filled that room, Lord, filled this place with your presence this morning, oh God. Father, for we lay everything at your feet, everything that we may have thought it should have went. Lord, allow it to go your way this morning, oh God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. In my haste, a couple of weeks ago, I provided a scripture which was taken from the Epistle of Paul, book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 6 through 11. And in the course of study these last 2 weeks, the Holy Spirit gave me something else to preach. And I'm not going to stick to the strip today. Susie, thank you, but I got to go another route. Praise God. You know, I just couldn't stand here and not talk to you today about Lazarus, amen, and who he was and the friendship that he and his sisters had with Jesus. So I'd like to read from the book of John, starting in verse 11. And I'm going to start at chapter 11, verse 1. And that's St. John. And it reads, now, a man named Lazarus was sick, and he was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Now, this Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. That was this Mary. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, and they said, Lord, the one you love is sick. And when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. So Jesus loved Mary and her sister, and he also loved Lazarus.
And when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more additional days. Now, I want to paint this picture for you, and I want to keep it real clear. Now, he got word that his friend was sick, but he didn't rush out. He didn't jump on the donkey and head that way. He stayed where he was 2 additional days. And it goes on to say here in verse 7, then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. And they said, Rabbi, a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you there, and yet you're going back? And Jesus said, are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light. And after he had said this, he went on to tell them, he said, that our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. And his disciples replied, and they said, well, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better. And Jesus had been speaking of his death, but the disciples thought he meant that he was actually asleep. So then he told them plainly, because they really needed it to be clarified for them. He said, Lazarus is dead. And he said, for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him right now. So then the one called Didymus, Thomas, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. I don't think it was yet clear to him, but it is what it is. So Jesus comforts the sisters. So upon his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in a tomb for 4 days. And Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. And many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. So here we have one sister that runs out to meet Jesus and the other stays at the house. And Martha says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I want to read that again. Now, this was Martha who said this. She said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection. This is something when we think we know it all. And she figured she knew what Jesus was talking about, but in actuality, she didn't have a clue. She said, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? What a question. Do you believe this? Do you believe that Christ is the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that even though you die, you will live again if you believe? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And after she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. And when Mary heard this, oh my God. And when Mary heard this, she got up quickly and she went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, they were there comforting her. When she heard this, they noticed how quickly she got up and went out, so they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. And when Mary reached the place where Jesus was, she saw him and she fell at his feet and said, Lord, now this is Mary, this is the other sister. She said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. That's twice. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit, and he was troubled. Where have you laid him? Asked Jesus. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And here, verse 35 is the shortest verse in the Bible where it says that Jesus wept. He cried. He wept. Even though he was the resurrection and is the resurrection and the life, he cried. Even though he knew the end of this situation, he cried. It's something about a compassionate release. It's okay, men, to cry. Amen? I believe I started out talking about how I'm just a well of water. I was singing praise here a minute ago, and I couldn't stop the water from pouring. But I'm glad I'm sensitive to the Spirit of God. I'm glad I'm sensitive to what I say to God and what I feel about the Lord. Amen? Amen. This is no joke to me. You know, this is not a joke. This is real. This is life. It goes on to say, and this is interesting, because now we have both sisters who believe in their heart that if Jesus had been there, their brother wouldn't have died. But yet Jesus took his time to come. What I glean from that is that Jesus is not going to always come when we want him to come. He's not going to be on our schedule. And as humans, we have a tendency sometimes to schedule everything out. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to repair copiers and fax machines years ago. And when I learned to troubleshoot that equipment, I learned that there was a sequential order of everything. Everything had a timing. It had sequential timing for this machine to work. And sometimes our life or even our relationship with Christ is based upon sequential timing. Are you hearing me? Everything have a particular time, and it should fall in sequence in order for this thing to work. And if it isn't working in sequential timing, it's out of sync. But I want you to know whether it's in sequential timing or not, Christ is always in sync. He's always on time. Come on, because our time is not his time. And you know, and it's kind of hard sometimes to get this in our heads and our hearts. I often hear people want to know the mind of Christ. Well, why did God do this? Or why did God do that? We don't even think or imagine or we don't even comprehend on the level of God. We don't. But yet we're trying to see eye to eye to the Creator. We're trying to see eye to eye to the Maker. My God, let's talk about these sisters some more because this is very interesting. Then the Jews said, verse 36, see how he loved him, because he's crying for this man. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Now what they're saying is, if Jesus can open blind eyes, if he can heal the sick, the lame, well, could he have kept this man from dying? So Jesus, once more deeply moved, he came to the tomb, and it was a cave. And the cave had a stone that covered the front of the entrance. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And then here's Mary again. She always wanted to get one step ahead of Jesus. But she said, but Lord, by this time, it is a bad odor. For he has been there for 4 days. In other words, he stinketh. I don't know if she was saying leave him in there or not. Don't roll the stone away or not. But Jesus commanded them to move the stone. Then Jesus said, Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? And that's for us today as well. If we believe, we can see the glory of God today. I think sometimes we just believe in part. Just in part, just so far. I got a call this morning about 5:45. My son, he's been up half the night. I had a father-son day with him yesterday, and I guess he was feeling a little close to me this morning. And he called and said, he said, "Pop, you might need to stay home this morning because we're having thunderstorms, flash floods, and tornadoes." He said, you don't need to go to church today." And this boy, all his life, he's never told me nothing like that. I said, "Well, son, I got to go." "No, Pop, you need to call Clay and you need to tell him." I said, "No, son, I'm going home." But in his heart, he believed that it would have been safer for me to stay. And he meant well, just like Mary and Martha meant well. But I had to do what I had to do, just like Jesus had to do what he had to do. Not by no means am I saying I'm like Christ, because I'm not, but it's a good example of how we can think what's best for someone else. And in actuality, it isn't. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." Now, all Jesus was doing was for them to see so that they would believe. Verse 43, it says, "And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, and he said, 'Lazarus, come out.' And the dead man came out, and his hands and his feet were wrapped with strips of linen and cloth and around his face. And then Jesus said to them, 'Take off the grave clothes and let it go.'" Take off the grave clothes and let it go. Now, can you imagine when he called Lazarus, when he said, "Lazarus, come forth"? Now, the people, the spectators that were standing around, how many do you think actually believed that that dead man was going to walk out of that tomb? Because their belief did not take them, and they needed to see to be true believers. They need to witness this with their own eyes. See, it's something about witnessing a thing. When you witness a thing, nobody else can come and tell you that it didn't happen, because you saw it with your own eyes. They saw it with their own eyes, and you couldn't tell them nothing different. So the testimony that they told was what they saw, what they witnessed, what they saw with their own eyes. Can you imagine it? This man walked up and he told them to remove the stone, and he called this guy's name, and this guy got up and walked out. Now, you know, they wrapped them in linen, strips of linen. Now, can you imagine when he walked out the tomb, he yet had the grave clothes on. He still had the strips of linen around him. And as a napkin that they would lay on the face of the individual, and the napkin was still like a mummy. Like a mummy. And Jesus said, "Remove the grave clothes. Loose him and let him go." That was seasons in my life where I had dead stuff behind the lock in the tomb in my heart. You better hear me. And when I come to know Christ as my Lord and Savior, he called forth those things out of me. Rightly come forth. And as I came out wrapped in those grave clothes, and you know what the cloth could have been? The cloth, each strip of cloth could represent something that I had experienced, something, a way of thinking, a way of living, but each strip of cloth had to be removed from me. It could have been an old hurt, it could have been some old abuse that I held on, but I stuffed it in the tomb and I put a rock in front of it. You better hear me this morning. But it took Christ, just like it took Christ, calling forth Lazarus to call me forth as well. I want you to know today he's going to call some of you forth today as well. Now, do you believe that?
Something to think about, isn't it? I pray that he do. Many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary, and they had seen what Jesus did, and they actually put their faith in Jesus because of what they witnessed. Mm-hmm. But some of them, they went to the Pharisees, and they told them what Jesus had done. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees, they called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. "What are we accomplishing?" they asked. "And here is this man performing many miraculous signs. And if we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him." Isn't that something? They needed to stop Jesus because they realized that if he had have continued, everyone would have believed in Christ. So one of them, this Caiaphas, who was a high priest for that particular year, he spoke up and he said, "You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish." I'm going to read that again. This was a chief priest. He said, "It is better for one man to die. It's better to one man than a whole nation perish." He did not say this on his own, but as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation. Not only for that nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and to make them one. So from that day on, they plotted to take the life of Jesus. I tell you, Jesus did not line up with the political agenda of the day. Didn't line up with it. He felt as if the Romans would come and take everything from them, the temple, everything, if they didn't get Jesus out of the picture. So this is when the plot began to thicken on Christ. The topic today is fully human, loving without fear. It wasn't because of fear that Christ took his time to go and see Lazarus. It wasn't out of fear. Even though they had sought to stone him, it's easy to say, well, they even spoke of it over in the earlier verses there. It says, well, they tried to stone you, and you're going back there? But Christ was not afraid. And today, the scripture tells us in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." God gives us power and sound-mindedness, not fear. Mm-hmm. Luke 1:7-5, it says that he would grant to us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. And we'll serve God in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. No fear. No fear. Romans 8:15, he says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father." No more bondage, no more fear. This newfound freedom that Lazarus experienced got brought out of the bondages. It's amazing how both sisters mentioned that if Jesus had been there, their brother would not have died. They believed that, they actually believed that Jesus was too late. They actually believed that he was too late. He was coming up the rear. My God, my God. But I want you to know today that God is the most punctual person in the universe. I'm going to say that again. He is the most punctual person in the universe. He is the author and the finisher of time. See, they were on their time. They felt like, if you had have been here, my brother would not have died. He was already there. He already knew what was happening. Just like Jesus resurrected Lazarus to new life, he resurrects us to new life today as well. Once we are loosed from the old, we should live up to the potential that Christ places us in. There's always some old stuff, some old grave clothes that we could shed, we could be free of. You know, I preached a sermon once before about there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. The way we think sometimes can be nothing but that napkin that they apply to the face of a dead person, which don't allow us to see nothing but what we think we see. And a lot of times what we think we see just isn't right. Amen? Amen. In this story, we see the reaction of three different people, how they reacted to death. Martha, first sister, she hoped. And then Mary, she hid. She was back at the house. And Jesus, he wept. Three different reactions to death. Three different ones. I wonder if Jesus is weeping over America today. I say again, many people have stuff that they have buried. Many. We have those places in our lives that are caves, and we have the stones rolled across the entrances. But every now and then, Jesus come along and he call us out. He call us out. I was reading some quotes from C.S. Lewis. And C.S. Lewis wrote the seven small books on, one was Narnia. And my kids love Narnia. Lewis says, you never know how much you really believe anything until its truth or falsehood becomes a matter of life and death. It is easy to say you believe a rope to be strong as long as you are merely using it to be a card on a box. But suppose you had to hang by that rope over a cliff. Wouldn't you then first discover how much you really trust it? If your life depended on that one thing, how much would you believe? Isn't it amazing how we only believe in part? You know, there's a condition on seeing God's glory in our lives according to what we just read as well. And that is that we believe. It is important what we believe. You know, it is said that this is the word of God. It's said that this is the word. This is the word of God. So my question today is, do you believe it? Had a pastor leaving Baltimore, going to New Mexico, spent a couple of days in my house. And he said, well, pastor, you see, I'm going to deal with a group of people I've never dealt with before. He's relocated. He said, well, how should I preach? I said, well, you just preach the gospel. Don't preach opinion. Preach the gospel. Don't you know opinion comes easier than the gospel? I could stand here and preach opinion all day. I could tell you what I like, what I think, and what you should do. But is that what God said do? He said, preach the gospel. Preach, stand on the word of God. And I said all of that to say again, do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe that God gave his only begotten son for you and you and you so that you will not perish? So that you could have everlasting life. Do you believe in everlasting life? Or does it just sound good? Do you believe? Do you believe there is life after death? Do you believe that there is everlasting life? Do you believe? What have you read? What have you seen? Have you seen a miracle? When Lazarus came from that tomb,
It was a miracle. Have you ever seen a miracle? Have anybody in here seen a miracle? No miracles. You seen a miracle. You did. Amen. You seen a miracle. Mm-hmm. Some don't believe in miracles. But one of the prerequisites we have to do in having a relationship with Christ, just like the disciples that walked with him, they needed to believe. Come on. You know, I'm harping on that one because our unbelief is what ensnares us at times. Unbelief versus belief. We're coming up on time where we're getting ready for Holy Week and then Easter, and all those events begin to unfold. One other quote from C.S. Lewis here. Believing things on authority only means believing them because you've been told. You've been told them by someone you think trustworthy. 99% of the things you believe are believed on authority. And I believe there is such a place as New York. I've been there, I believe it. I could not prove by abstract reasoning that there is such a place, but I believe it because reliable people have told me so. The ordinary person believes in the solar system, believe in atoms and the circulation of the blood on authority because the scientists say so. Every historical statement is believed on authority. None of us has seen the Norman conquest or the defeat of the Spanish Armada, but we believe them simply because people who did see them have left writings that tell us about them. In fact, on authority, a person who balked at authority and other things, as some people do in religion, would have to be content, know nothing all his life. It's something when we don't believe. Jesus has authority over the stuff in our tombs. I want you to believe that. He has authority over the stuff and the things that are going on in our individual lives as well. You know, and it's not things we need to discuss with one another, but it's stuff that you can just discuss with him because he already knows what's going on with you. Amen? Amen. Allow him to unwrap you. Allow him to take those bandages off. Allow him to free you. This plot thickened once Jesus called Lazarus from the grave. And again, as it thickened, it really didn't line up with the political agenda of the day. So they had to kill Jesus. It's amazing how when people are going to lose and people are going to fall short, how they know how to rectify it with the removal of someone else.
God is a good God. Amen. God is a good God. So
this week, next week, coming up on Easter, I decided to minister this verse of scripture because there's another resurrection that's about to occur. Come on. There's another resurrection that is about to occur. Now, I think each and every one of us needs to fully realize and understand what it's all about. What it's all about. I was on Facebook the other day, and I saw this young man that had on an orange suit and a yellow shirt and tie. I ain't talking about my yellow tie anymore. But it's how some people just look to Easter as an occasion to dress up, to buy that new suit, to buy that new dress. Come on, the new Easter egg comes. And I still, in 6 years, haven't figured out what a rabbit got to do with it. I scratched my head to that one. I haven't figured it out yet. Reese has got a commercial where the bunny and something look, the chocolate and something look at each other, and I guess they become one. We're living in a time. But what does that have to do with the death, resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Nothing. Nothing. We can get caught up in the hoopla. It's caught up in it. Our babies, our children see this and they figure that's the way to go. Don't have a clue. But it's our job, even as a church family, to inform them of what it's all about. So in preparation of that, it was more than fitting to talk about Lazarus. See, a lot of folks, he took them to another level of belief. And I want to encourage each and every one of us to go to another level of believing. Yeah. And you can get caught comfortable in some spots of believing right between your ears, right? You can't go no farther than that. As far as you can see, but you better believe that there is some more over the horizon that you've not yet witnessed. And I pray that the Lord is getting ready to take us there, to reveal more. This is a good season. Don't you know each and every one of us in this sanctuary today had the option to stay home? But look at the weather report. Say, no, not going out today. Going to stay at home because the weather's bad.
But I want to say this. I salute you. I salute you this morning. And I pray blessings upon you for pressing your way, because there are some that didn't come out of the house because of a weather report. And what that say about you is that you believe God. You believe him. I came because I needed a filling. I needed a filling. On the way here, my car was on empty. And in order for me to make it, I needed to stop and get some fuel. This stop here this morning was for me to get some fuel, because I need to make it through next week as well. Are you hearing me? See, this is important to me. I need some fuel. I can't run on fumes. I need some fuel. That song I sang, I don't know where it came from. I don't know where it came from, but it came. Tim looked at me like, Rev, what are you doing? Rev didn't know what he was doing. But it came from the abundance of my heart. And that's the way I want to walk with the Lord. I want to expose the abundance of my heart to him. If you happen to see it, it's okay. I don't care. I'm not exposing it for you, but it's for him to see. I want him to know me like he knew Lazarus. You know, when something's going on with me, I want word to get to Christ. The one whom you love is this, or the one whom you love is that. And see, I love him because he first loved me. Am I making sense this morning? God is good, and he loves us right where we are. Right where we are. Right where we are. Met a brother one time that felt like his suits couldn't cost less than $1,000. $500-$600 shoes. And hanging, he needed to match the tag, whatever tag he was wearing. And I asked him, because he was a friend of mine, but does it take all of that to get Christ?
Spirit, what?
We may be truly wise and what? And ever enjoy your consolations through Christ our Lord. Amen. God bless you.